Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Praise the Lord for just the opportunity to once again be in church. And I trust that you look at being in church as a tremendous opportunity, as we have an opportunity to assemble ourselves together. With that, as we assemble as we do in His name, we have His presence promised. And what a blessing it is to come into the presence of the Lord and have His Word before us and then hear the Word of God being taught and preach in a way that we can get a better understanding of who God is and what His will is for our lives. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you would look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 3. Luke in chapter 3, we're in a study on the life of John the Baptist. And boy, there's been so much here in the life of John the Baptist. It was, first of all, we look to see what Jesus had to say about John the Baptist. And once you understand what Christ said about him, you'll want to learn everything you can about the life of John the Baptist because it was powerful. And so we study that, and then we look back to find out first of all, the parents of John the Baptist. We looked at who God chose to bring in to this world, a man that he would use in such a great way. And children are the heritage of the Lord. And so every parent needs to be aware that God has blessed you. If you have children, God's blessed you, and you will give an account for what you've done with that blessing that God blessed you with, and how you raise your children, how you take care of them, and how you get them, motivate them to serve the Lord, to raise them, God's will, and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so that's what was the start of it. And then we started looking at just John's life. And it didn't have a lot to say about his childhood, really didn't. But we know that it took 30 years in preparation for John to get to that place where he was going to be used as God wanted to use him publicly. 30 years. And then God would only use him for some 6 months to a year. His entire public ministry was only 6 months to a year. And yet what he did in that little bit of time has impacted this New Testament church age for some over 2,000 years. And he was a forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. John actually was the one that ushered in the New Testament church age. And he came and possibly gave us the best example outside of Christ in all the Bible as to New Testament Christianity. And Jesus is the first one we look to as an example. But the second person that you'd look to, I know there's a lot of great New Testament characters in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, what a great study we had on the life of Apostle Paul. But there's none that can compare to John the Baptist. He ushered in. His entire ministry was preparing his disciples to be the disciples of Christ. And when Christ came on the scene, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And he encouraged them, "Follow him." Now, what an unselfish act. What a sign of great humility and spirituality and taking everything off himself and pointing everything to Christ. John did not perform one miracle. He showed no signs and wonders as they would in the apostolic age. John had more of a New Testament church age ministry than anyone else outside of Christ. And we have his example. So we've been studying that and learning so much from it. I trust it's been a help to you. But John prepared his disciples to be the disciples of Christ, and a tremendous example of the New Testament Christianity. Luke chapter 3. Go ahead and stand with me. Let's read here, verse 15 down to verse 20. Now, John came preaching. Not signs and wonders and miracles. He just came preaching the Word of God. And he drew multitudes. And he preached outside the cities. And the city people came out to hear him preach. He didn't impress them with his dress, nor in his great feast that he would provide for them. If you wanted to eat with John the Baptist, you pretty much knew what you was going to eat. Locusts and wild honey. That didn't attract a lot of people. The afternoon meal was not the reason that they came out into the wilderness to hear John. They came to hear him preach. He emphasized the preaching of the Word of God. Exactly what we need to emphasize today is the understanding and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And so we find here that not everyone, though, would respond well to John's preaching. And just like Jesus, there was all the religious leaders. They're the one that rebelled the hardest against the preaching of the gospel. The common folk realized that was what they needed, and they flocked to hear both of them preach. But it was more the religious individuals who rebelled against that. And also those in position. If you preached against their sin and they could do something about it, they was going to try to stop you from preaching against their sin. Well, John the Baptist preached, and he, as Christ, was no respecter of persons. And he told Herod and Herodias exactly what they needed to hear to be right with God, and he outlined their sin. People, when they have their sins outlined, they don't like to hear the preaching. And so here we find what goes on with John the Baptist as Herod put John in prison. So let's read here. Starting in verse 15, we'll read down to verse 20. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Now he's just preaching the very word of God and exalting Christ. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod, the tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils. I love that. Not only did he say he was adulterous, but he says for all the other evils too. He didn't stop short of preaching against his sin. And all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. And let's pray. Father, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in church tonight. I just pray that you would help us to put everything else out of our hearts and our minds. Focus on what's most important right now, and that is what you have for us this evening. Help us to have a better understanding of the life of John the Baptist, and more than that, help us to learn these practical truths and applications to our own lives. I pray that you would use me once again to bring forth the message that you have for each and every one that's here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, the last lesson we taught on this was that he was no respecter of persons. And the preacher being used by God to preach the word should not change the message just because someone different that he didn't know was going to come into the service comes into the services. The message is God's message. Whoever is there to hear it, God has prepared the hearts. Never know who's going to be in every service, but I do know what I'm going to preach no matter who's here. Amen? Because I've prepared for that. And I would hope that those of the congregation that could be here would be here every service. But never know who's going to show up and who's going to be here outside the normal. But you just prepare to be used by God to preach His Word. And so no matter what service it is, before anyone comes to the doors of this church for that service, it's already been determined what would be preached. And John already determined whether Herod or Herodias was there, he was going to preach against sin. And it just so happened to be exactly what Herod and Herodias had been involved in. And so he preached, and Herod did not like it. Herodias probably didn't like it even more than what Herod didn't like it. And it was her that wanted to have John beheaded, and it was her urging that led Herod to have John the Baptist placed in prison. But so he was no respecter of persons. But now we're looking at John's. Think about his life. Prepared for 30 years out in the wilderness so that he would be this forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's only been in the ministry now for some 6 months and been doing a tremendous job. He's lived to be able to see Christ come, and he was able to baptize him, and he was able to take all of his disciples and said, he's the one. Behold the Lamb of God, follow him, and set a tremendous example for New Testament Christianity as far as how no matter what we are to do, we are to help anybody and everybody follow the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he is the only one that can take away their sins. And so John was a tremendous example for this. But now John, doing what was right, preaching the Word of God, standing for what was right, he's put in prison. John is suffering for Christ. And the message tonight is going to be that idea that not only did he was no respecter of persons, and he stood and he preached what needed to be preached, but now he's put in prison just simply because he stood for righteousness. And this lesson tonight on the suffering of John the Baptist for Christ was a test of faith. It was a test of faith for John, and we're going to see, we'll probably have two or three more messages on this because John has Satan working hard on him while he's in prison to the place that he even has his disciples to go, and we'll see this, to question whether Jesus was the one or should they look for another. Now, that can be very confusing to some, but not when you fully understand it. Understand the humanity of John the Baptist. He was a tremendous spiritual leader, but he was still just a man. And we'll be getting into that, but it begins right here because John is shut up in prison and it would be a test of his faith. And can I tell you, as we have the life of John the Baptist to look to, it helps us when our faith is tested. John was an outdoorsman. I mean, you can just see John, he would have been one. His appearance was not that which would fit into the city. And he didn't care about fitting into the city or whoever else was around. He was just a disciplined man. He knew what kind of clothes he was going to wear was going to be that was going to honor the Lord and help him to get across his point, whatever that might be. His meal, is there a reason why we study that? Why was it that the Bible records his diet? And the main reason there is he had to have been a disciplined individual. If you're going to live on what John lived on, you're going to be a very disciplined individual. No doubt about it. John was a very disciplined individual. He disciplined himself to be used by God and to get the most out of his life for the cause of Christ. And now John, an outdoorsman, is confined in a dark and no doubt cold. The prison system there was not like the prison system that we have today. It would have been more like an inner dungeon. Shut up. That's why he says shut up in prison. Means that he was put probably to the deepest, farthest back prison room that was there. Completely shut out from the outdoors. He was shut up away from anyone and everyone, with the exception of he had occasional visitors who would risk their own freedom by going to visit, and that was his disciples that were going to visit John. We don't know much about that. We do know that they did allow them in because as he talked to them, he was still concerned about Christ being the one, and we're going to be getting into that later on, but I want you to see that he is in probably the worst place he could be in with the type of person he was and what he had experienced up until this time. And being in prison, it would have been a test of his faith. And his disciples, seeing him being put in prison, would be a test of their faith. To experience the godly seemingly being defeated by the ungodly. It comes back to mind that thought that all of us will have from time to time. Why do bad things happen to good people? Everyone in here can think of somebody that you would have thought to have been a godly individual, and yet they got cancer. A godly individual, and they lost their jobs. Nothing but just serving God, just doing everything that God asked them to do, and they lost a spouse. Lost a child. And you stop and you wonder, why? We see Herod and Herodias living in luxury while John is suffering in prison. That's a picture we have right here. That's what God gives us concerning the life of John the Baptist. And no doubt there was his disciples and John Wood and inside the prison house. And we see this later on. It'll come out more about what John was thinking, what was going on. But no doubt anyone in that situation, and if you've ever been in that situation or look to somebody else and say, why them and why is that going on in their lives? There is that question that would be presented in our minds. And if it's coming from the devil, he's able to make suggestions. He can't force you to think this way, but he can suggest a certain way for you to think. There is this old flesh that can make a suggestion to your spirit. And if the flesh wants to lead you in the way of the flesh, and praise the Lord, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit if you're saved, and His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit, and His Spirit will try to help you to have right thinking, but He will not force you to have right thinking because God has given all of us a free will, and you have to, by faith, come up with the right way to think. You have all these things taking place. You have the world influencing you, and you have the devil influencing us, and we have the flesh influencing us. We have the Holy Spirit trying to influence us. But when it comes down to it, you have to determine what you're going to think. And we ask, that question is there, where's God? Where is righteousness? Because that's not righteous. It's not right for John to be in a prison cell and Herod and Herodias living in luxury. Is God not in control? Has He just set the world into motion and then has left to find out how we would fend for ourselves? There's some that have that kind of a doctrinal belief that yes, God created and then He left. And He'll come back just to see how we've done with what He left us with. And that's not scripture. That's not what the Bible teaches. But sometimes in our minds we think, where is God? If there is a God, is He not in control? If He was in control, why would this happen? Does He not care? Does He not know what I'm going through? How, if He loved me, how could He allow me to be placed in prison? When I know my own heart and I know, as Job said, I've not sinned. I've done the best I could do. I've lived righteously. I wanted to serve the Lord. John's feeling some of that, no doubt, having all these thoughts. He's human. Are His promises true? He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Is it true? Do you see this? I want you to see this tonight. I want you to understand what we're doing here and the life of John the Baptist and what's taking place here. All John did is said, Lord, I'm going to preach what You want me to preach. Whatever comes from it, no matter who it is that hears it, everyone needs to hear the very same truth. And Herod and Herodias heard it. He didn't back off on what he preached. He preached the word. And now he's in prison and they're living in luxury. Wow. See, the truth is that troubles and trials are part of this life for everyone. That's why heaven is so appealing. That's why the Bible says all the tears be wiped away. No more pain, no more suffering. Praise the Lord for that. But for whatever, and I don't think we can fully understand all of God's purpose for life. And this life. But truth is that trouble and trials are part of this life. You can't go back in history. Adam and Eve had to deal with the fact that one of their sons killed their other son. Troubles and trials? How would you have it? How would you feel? How could you handle that yourself, knowing that there is a God? And God, You allowed Cain to kill Abel? Do you really care? There are of our own flesh and blood, and you can control all things. You created all things, and You allowed this. And then you just keep on studying. You start reading from Genesis all the way through, and it doesn't stop, leading all the way up to the tribulation. And things will get worse and worse. That's what the Bible says. Apostasy will grow greater and greater. A turning away from the things of God. An antichrist mentality in the world. Part of this life. But what we do know, starting with Cain and Abel, and all the way through the scriptures, and even through this entire church age, however long God's going to let it go, it takes faith to make it through it. This life, humanity, and God, it has always been about faith. Man's faith. Now, there's a couple of places in Scripture that will help it. I mean, we see it in John the Baptist, a tremendous example for us, but it's throughout the Scriptures. If you can, or I'll just read it to you, but if you want to look to Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk, seeing so much that was going on, and seeing what was going on, he questions God. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 1 through 4, it says this, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see," burden for what he's looking at, "O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save." I'm crying out because there's a lot of violence in the world, and there's a lot of unjustness in the world. There's a lot of unrighteousness in the world. Way back in the Old Testament, Habakkuk cries out and he says, "Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked." Because the law says they're going to be judged and they're going to be punished if they do this thing, and yet it's running wild and no one is seemingly being punished. "Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth." I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm out there preaching that there is a consequence to pay, that there is a judgment of sin, and the end of sin is death. I'm preaching to them that God is going to judge the unrighteous, and God's going to bless the righteous. And I'm out here preaching this, Habakkuk says, and I look around, and just the opposite seems to be taking place. And those that are living unrighteously seem to have the better life. They're the ones that have all the money and have none of the seemingly worries, and everything seems to be going so well for them. And I'm preaching, live holy, live righteous. This is Habakkuk. "Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous." Makes me think, why live righteously if the wicked have a better life than the righteous? Can I tell you, that is a thought that if you haven't had it placed in your heart and mind, Satan will try to put it there. The world will try to put it there. And the flesh will try to suggest that you think that way. If it wasn't so, we wouldn't have the warning. We wouldn't have the examples throughout the Scripture that we have. So he says, "Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." This is a prophet of God. But then verse 5. God speaks to his prophet and he says this, Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, and you're going to see it, which ye will not believe, though it be told you." And he goes on and says how he's going to bring the judgment, how all this is going to work out. And then afterwards you find Habakkuk saying, "Oh Lord, no, don't." He just had a lapse of faith that God was in control, even though it did not look like God was in control. Psalms chapter 73, a great psalm that helps us to see some of this very truth as well. But Psalm chapter 73, I want you to see, it's from the beginning, from Adam and Eve all the way through, and it doesn't stop. It only continues on in this church age because it's all about faith in God. And if Satan can get you to turn from your faith in God, if this world can get you to turn from your faith in God, if your own flesh can get you to turn from faith in God, it will. Only thing we have working for us is the Spirit of God. But that's most powerful. And if He is inside of you, greater is He that is within you than he that's in the world. What a great verse to hold on to there. Psalms chapter 73. The psalmist right here, he says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. I mean, they're not being affected by this. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They have everything they want. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. The way I've been living is just empty. It's in vain. And wash my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. And I'm the good one. I'm doing right. Are you seeing this? It goes right along with what we find in the testimony of John the Baptist. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Because he was doubting. He had all this confusion going on in his life. I love verse 17. Until. You're going to have all this until I went into the sanctuary of God. Amen. He's the only one that can explain it to you. He's the only one that can give you a peace in the midst of it. He's the only one that gives you joy throughout the midst of the storm. He's the only one, and he works through faith. Amen. It's all about faith. It's all about what you choose to believe. And that's what faith is. You choose to believe. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. It's the only heaven they'll ever going to know. When they die, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell and burn and torment forever and ever. Wow. Look down at verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Even though all these things are going on, I still can sense the presence of God holding my hand. Thou shalt guide me with the counsel. Praise the Lord. His counsel is there in the scriptures, and it will not fail. Thou shalt guide me with the counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Praise the Lord for that. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Where's your desires at tonight? Amen. Don't be desirous of the things of this world. Don't be desirous of vain things. Look to God and understand that what He has is priceless. Amen. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. It's not just John the Baptist. It's humanity. It's whatever the Creator God has going on. Now, He's revealed some of it to us. I don't think that this so... mind can fully understand it all, but we can understand some of the things that are going to go on, and it's going to look different than what it truly is. And there's going to be times where we're going to suffer for a purpose, for Christ's sake, if you will. We're going to suffer that God can be glorified at some point. And if we are focused on this world and what this world has to offer, before you know it, we are going to lose faith and we're going to question the fact, is God even real? John the Baptist possibly thought, I'm preaching against Herod. Herodias, God will protect me. The soldiers come, they won't be able to bind me. They'll not be able to take me and put me in the prison. But they got him and they put him in prison and shut him up in the prison. Now he has to look around and he's not out in the wilderness any longer. He's not able to preach to the multitudes. He's in a very small, cold, dark dungeon. No way out. His faith would be tested. Yeah. And so will ours. There are Old Testament examples that God has written down for us to look back to. And I love Hebrews chapter 11, faith chapter. Go there with me. Hebrews chapter 11. There's much of this we could read, but I want to take you down to verse 32. Because it kind of puts it all together here. It gives us certain examples of some of the patriarchs of the faith before that. But then it says this, in many heroes of the faith. But this is just sums it up. Verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell thee of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith, how was able to accomplish what they were able to, can I tell you, it's faith. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. John wasn't the first, he wouldn't be the last. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, destitute, a child of God's, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a, look at this, good report. Why? Because even when they were destitute, they were not without faith. Right before the lions would come to devour them, they were not without faith. Right before they were burned at the stake for their witness for Christ, they were not without faith. Wow. Obtained a good report through faith. And yet they received not the promise. They didn't see it in their lifetime. They didn't see Christ. Only through faith they knew he was coming. God having provided some better thing for us. Because we see Christ. We have the testimony of Christ. We have the historical evidence. We have the proof. We have the completion of the scriptures. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should be made perfect. Understanding, it took their sacrifice to bring to us what we have today. Old Testament examples. Now, this New Testament started out with the example and testimony of John. Life of John. God prepared him for 30 years. His ministry publicly, 6 months. But what an impact. What? He would be beheaded. We'll study that in the future weeks to come. And we'll study some of the things that went on. But what was most important about John, when everything did not go the way that he thought it would go, he didn't think he'd only live for 6 months after he started preaching the gospel. He thought, hard telling what he knew. He thought he would be beside Christ and be able to serve him just as one of the other disciples. Who knows? But the one thing was true. John would have faith. To do exactly what God would have him to do. And before his head was cut off, we'll see, John died with faith. John, the righteous servant of God, is placed in prison and will soon be killed for just preaching the truth. We are to learn that if we remain faithful, we just might have to suffer for it as well. Not everybody, especially nowadays, loves the preacher. Especially if the preacher is preaching against their sin. And the world's not going to love the preacher if he continues to preach the same thing that Christ preached concerning morality. Amen. Nor will it love you as a disciple, as someone who just wants to be Christ-like. But you have an example of John the Baptist, as well as Christ, to be held by. Just keep the faith. Keeping the faith is knowing what we know. Knowing what we know when it doesn't seem like it. Knowing that there is a holy, righteous God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We just, Brother Copes hit on this a little bit. For the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. You're not going to understand unless you have faith. You're not going to understand if you have the world to judge it by. You're not going to understand if you have the flesh that you're judging it by. How I feel, what I desire. If you're trying to understand Christianity and the will of God and you're trying to compare it to how you feel and what your flesh says or what the world says, you're never going to get it. It's by faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things were that are seen were not made of things which do appear. And verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You're not going to have right thinking. If you don't have right thinking, you will not have a right action. You will not live as God would have you to live. We have right thinking. We have faith based on the word of God. You can please God. For he that cometh to God must believe. First of all, that he is. There is a God. And it's the God of the Bible. He's holy and he's righteous. The world can't understand holiness. The world will not understand righteousness. The flesh will not understand holiness. The flesh will not understand righteousness. But the Spirit can. If you bear witness with his Spirit. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, Lord, I want to know. I want you. I want your truth. I want your presence. I want the promises. By faith, knowing there is a holy, righteous God. By faith, knowing that he has a purpose and a plan for everything. If you're walking next to God, listen to me, no matter what takes place in your life, God has a purpose and a plan for whatever he allows. Through faith, I know that he cares. Because I know by faith he loved me enough to send his only son to die for me. By faith, I know that he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He tells me, and he's a God that cannot lie, he cares for me. By faith, I know that. By faith, I can know, no matter what happens in this life, heaven is real. And heaven is for an eternity. And God is more concerned about the eternal things than the temporal things that we have to go through. John would suffer, but not without knowing that God had purpose and the God he served was still God. Even though he was in prison, God was still God. What a great example in the life of John the Baptist for us as we have to deal with some of the unpleasant things that we might have to face in this life. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Faith. Can I tell you, it all comes back to our faith. It always has, always will. This whole idea of humanity, of time, of the existence of time from the very beginning to the very end, it's all about faith in God. Do you have it? That's what it takes to get saved. Believe. Trust and receive Christ. That takes faith. To live the Christian life, it's even going to take greater faith because it's going to get harder and harder to stand where you need to stand and to do what you need to do to represent Christ.